Thank you, Mr. Michael Vernon Harper. Happy Thanksgiving. We can say that. Happy Thanksgiving. All right, very good. Studies have been showing that those who are grateful and express a lot of gratitude in their hearts are happier people. And so why not make the most of it? Amen? The Bible is full of admonitions of giving thanks and returning gratitude back to God. And so that's what we ought to do. That's why I chose this. Besides, everybody says Happy Thanksgiving. And when somebody says that to you out there, may it remind you of God's admonition that He wants you to have gladness in your heart when you give thanks to God. Every year, our nation sets aside a time to return thanks to our glorious God who dwells not only in heaven above, but also in our very hearts. So our spirit of thanksgiving arises from the revelation to our hearts and our minds that God's very presence gives us countless blessings, even in the midst of trials and pains and losses. The Word of God tells us the truth, that God's blessings and provisions for us are an unshakable foundation right in the midst of an unstable, unpredictable, and often very dangerous world. So after my message, after the closing song, we're going to give you an opportunity to offer to God a short word of thanks for His goodness to you. We're going to have an open mic time. Anybody feel a sense that you want to just say thanks to God? You have this gratitude welling up in you for something. We want you to have that mic and to be able to share that. But keep it short, okay? Because we have a lot of people might want to share. So my heart recently has been drawn to the importance and power of traditions. I find it interesting. I didn't talk to Michael about this, but he talked about traditions. And you know what traditions are, right? Traditions are the things that we practice as a people that provide an anchor, a tether, if you will, like that rope, that safety rope that connects us to values that transcend time, important values that go reaching across generations. And it reaches through past generations, it reaches to us, and it reaches forward as well. Those are what traditions are. And as we think about Thanksgiving, I wanted to provide an anchor to a powerful tradition of gratitude to God in hopes that we will pass on this tradition to future generations. In your bulletin, I have printed in there, if you have that, you want to take a look at that, three proclamations that many of us are familiar with. We might have heard about it, or maybe you haven't. Maybe you're not familiar with it. And if you, I printed it out for you. If you have a Thanksgiving dinner or lunch or something like that, you might want to just peruse some of the thoughts that come out of these precious words of leaders in our country about Thanksgiving. So the very first entry in that handout that you have is by William Bradford. William Bradford was the governor, and if you read it, I really like the wording of that. He writes it in Old English style. I guess that's maybe how they did it. I especially like that last statement. You know what it says? It says, "I tell you to go to church and listen to ye pastor and give thanks." I like that part, right? "And give thanks to God." So now if the pastor tells you to sin, don't listen to the pastor, okay? But if the pastor tells you to give thanks to God, yes, amen. Praise God to that. And we have an entry by George Washington, President George Washington, our very first president. And that was in 1775. And we have another one by Abraham Lincoln. On the backside, you have one by Abraham Lincoln. I commend these to you that you just go ahead and take some time later on, sit down, turn off the TV for a few minutes, and just read this through at your leisure. Highlight a few words, circle a few words. If anything stands out to you, this is the heart of our nation as we practice Thanksgiving in our country. Other countries have different forms of giving thanks as well, but in ours, it's celebrating Thanksgiving on the fourth Thursday of November. So I'd like to ask us, as we think about these things, who remembers? William Bradford wrote his Proclamation of Thanksgiving in 1663, if you look at the date over there. When did the Pilgrims land at Cape Cod? Anybody know when the Pilgrims landed at Cape Cod? 60. 61? Okay, 60 or 61. Okay. So, 102 people came on the ships that came from the Old World to the New World. By the time a year went by, half of them had died. And just a couple of years later, the pilgrims who remained there were able to make friends with the Native Americans. They were able to plant. They knew how to learn how to plant. They had to learn how to do things in this new country. They were really, really pioneers. But they went through a lot of hardship. Okay, here's another question. Who knows when the Revolutionary War ended? Oh, fun, yeah? Now you wish you stayed awake in history class. Okay, you probably don't know. In fact, I didn't know until I did some research here. So the Declaration of Independence was 1776. Okay, but they're already moving toward breaking away in 1775. The Declaration, Revolutionary War didn't actually end until 1783. And it was in 1789 that George Washington wrote the Thanksgiving Proclamation, just 6 years after the war ended. And how about the Civil War? Civil War started in 1861 and it ended in 1863. Good guess, 1865. Okay, now take a look on that handout. When was Abraham Lincoln's proclamation signed? 1863, yes. Good students here, 1863. And here's what I want to point out. The Civil War had not even ended yet. And Abraham Lincoln is saying, we owe our God the debt of giving thanks, even if we're in the midst of a very painful war. So there are two common themes here that I see. Number one is problems. How many of you have had problems? Anybody here have had problems? Okay, all right. I raised my hand, raised two hands. The other common theme is providence, God's providence. What does God's providence mean? Providence is God's divine oversight and guidance through the situations and circumstances of life. That is, we have problems, yes, but in the midst of those problems, we still have God's guidance. It kind of reminds me of Psalm 23, where the psalmist David speaks about the Lord being his shepherd and feeding him in green pastures and quiet waters, walking in paths of righteousness, but also journeying through the valley of the shadow of death. God is there. That's the providence of God. So where does the spirit of people like William Bradford, George Washington, and Abraham Lincoln come from? They each had a deep faith rooted in the Bible. The Apostle Paul taught what our attitude should be in every situation. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Apostle Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances. Can you say that with me? Give thanks in all circumstances. Let's say that again. Give thanks in all circumstances. Why? Because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If you ever don't know what God's will is in any particular issue, you can always give thanks. We might be in confusion and unknown. We don't know what's going on, but we can give thanks. The Bible does say, though, that we need to develop eyes to see God's blessings. Trials have the potential of distracting our eyes from His blessings, right? Does that happen to you? It happens to me. It can be like these two men who are in jail, in the jail cell, and they're looking out a window, and one of the men looks at the stars in the night sky, and he says, "Wow, look at all those stars." And the other man, despondent, says, "I can only see the bars." One man's eyes enabled him to see beyond his jail cell into things that were the amazing beauty of the heavens. The other one only had eyes to see the limits of his prison cell. Paul and Silas were unjustly thrown in jail, but they were both able to see heaven. What did Paul and Silas do when they were in jail? You guys remember what they did? They sang hymns to God. What? You're throwing in jail. It wasn't even fair. They were unjustly thrown into prison, and they're singing hymns to God. You know what I might be saying? I might say, "God, you're so unfair. Where are you? You don't love me." But not Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas are singing hymns to God, and God works a miracle, and people come to know Jesus Christ through that. So what God often does to help us see our blessings is to oftentimes remove your blessings. I was talking to a young man recently who is, he's in the military, and he works at Tripler Hospital, and I've been meeting with him for months now, several months, and he would tell me how much he didn't like his job at Tripler, and it's just not a good environment and things like that. And then, after a while, he went out to this special assignment into what is called the field. And as a military guy, he spent 3 weeks in the field. And I said, "So how was the field?" He said, "Horrible. It was terrible." And then I met with him again and again, and I asked him about his job. And I said, "So how's your job now at Tripler?" He says, "Oh, it's great." What was the difference? He was able to see what the field looked like. You're out in the jungle all by yourself with the mosquitoes and exposed to the rain and everything. And now his job at Tripler doesn't look so bad. How about that, huh? How about joints that work? We have somebody here who has a joint problem and had to have surgery. Praise the Lord for successful surgery. But a lot of times we don't give thanks for the joints when they work. How many of you gave thanks this morning that your right shoulder worked? Probably not. You just took it for granted. You did. Praise the Lord, Kyoko-san. Now, there's a thankful heart. So, what we need is eyes for God's blessing. I tell you, what is the most important thing for skin divers? What's the most important? Take a guess. What's the most important thing for skin divers? Air. You got it right. Being a former skin diver myself, I used to go, air is more important than the fish, the family, that new car, that job promotion, that high-paying job, whatever it is. And when you need air and you're running out of air down there, air is number one. But how often have you given thanks for the air that you breathe? We take it for granted. Yet it's always with us, isn't it? So there are things that God has put around our lives that we can give thanks for. And what God wants to do is develop eyes to see. Without any doubt, the greatest blessing God has given us is not only provisions for this life, but provisions for eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says that Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. And by receiving Jesus Christ as Savior, as we have had these baptisms show, God gives us eternal life with Him. So when we embrace Jesus, you will truly experience a happy Thanksgiving. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you so much that you have flooded this world with things that we can give thanks for. Lord, forgive us that we do not always notice them, and we take things for granted until you take them away. But Lord, when you do remove blessings, when you remove our health, instead of getting mad at you, remind us, Lord, of how much you have blessed us, and especially, Lord, on that day that you will receive us in heaven through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and we will give thanks to you forever and ever. Now, Lord, because you have been so good to us, may we glorify your name in this sanctuary. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.